Obviously, it was written with the full approval of the teachers, but there was no doubt it was written by Val. The spelling of psychoanalyze, S-I-K-O-W-A-N-A-L-I-Z-E, the epithet slum bitch for Peter, the joke about pronouncing new like canoe, were all things that no one could know but Val. And yet, they came pretty thick, as though someone wanted to make very sure that Ender believed that the letter was genuine. Why should they be so eager if it's the real thing? It isn't the real thing anyway. Even if she wrote it in her own blood, it isn't the real thing because they made her write it. She'd written before, and they didn't let any of those letters through. Those might have been real, but this was asked for. This was part of their manipulation. And the despair filled him again. Now he knew why. Now he knew what he hated so much. He had no control over his own life. They ran everything. They made all the choices. Only the game was left to him, that was all. Everything else was them and their rules and plans and lessons and programs, and all he could do was go this way or that way in battle. The one real thing, the one precious real thing, was his memory of Valentine, the person who loved him before he ever played a game, who loved him whether there was a bugger war or not. And they had taken her and put her on their side. She was one of them now. He hated them and all their games, hated them so badly that he cried, reading Val's empty, asked-for letter again. The other boys in Phoenix Army noticed and looked away. Ender Wiggin crying. That was disturbing. Something terrible was going on. The best soldier in any army, lying on his bunk, crying. The silence in the room was deep. Ender deleted the letter, wiped it out of memory, and then punched up the fantasy game. He was not sure why he was so eager to play the game, to get to the end of the world, but he wasted no time getting there. Only when he coasted on the cloud, skimming over the autumnal colors of the pastoral world, only then did he realize what he hated most about Val's letter. All that it said was about Peter, about how he was not at all like Peter. The words she had said so often as she held him comforted him as he trembled in fear and rage and loathing after Peter had tortured him. That was all that the letter had said. And that was what they had asked for. The bastards knew about that, and they knew about Peter in the mirror in the castle room. They knew about everything, and to them Val was just one more tool to use to control him, just one more trick to play. Dink was right. They were the enemy. They loved nothing and cared for nothing, and he was not going to do what they wanted. He was damn well not going to do anything for them. He had had only one memory that was safe, one good thing, and those bastards had plowed it into him with the rest of the manure, and so he was finished. He wasn't going to play. As always, the serpent waited in the tower room, unraveling itself from the rug on the floor. But this time Ender didn't grind it underfoot. This time he caught it in his hands, knelt before it, and gently, so gently, brought the snake's gaping mouth to his lips and kissed. He had not meant to do that. He had meant to let the snake bite him on the mouth. Or perhaps he had meant to eat the snake alive, as Peter in the mirror had done, with his bloody chin and the snake's tail dangling from his lips, but he kissed it instead. And the snake in his hands thickened and bent into another shape, a human shape. It was Valentine, and she kissed him again. The snake could not be Valentine. He had killed it too often for it to be his sister. Peter had devoured it too often for Ender to bear it that it might have been Valentine all along. Was this what they planned when they let him read her letter? He didn't care. She arose from the floor of the tower room and walked to the mirror. Ender made his figure also rise and go with her. They stood before the mirror where, instead of Peter's cruel reflection, there stood a dragon and a unicorn. Ender reached out his hand and touched the mirror, and so did Valentine. The wall fell open, and revealed a great stairway downward, carpeted and lined with shouting, cheering multitudes. Together, arm in arm, he and Valentine walked down the stairs. Tears filled his eyes, tears of relief that at last he had broken free of the room at the end of the world, and because of the tears, he didn't notice that every member of the multitude wore Peter's face. He only knew that wherever he went in this world, Valentine was with him.